Nipples, 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 nipples.
Hi, friends. Welcome to Red Dead Radio, the Red Dead Redemption podcast. I'm your host, Jared Petty. And as always, we're going straight to the wild, wild guest.
We're going straight to the wild, wild guest. We're going straight to the wild, wild guest. Yeah!
To my right, your left, first off. Who are you?
It's me, Brendan Graber. Hi, how are you?
It is you, Brendan Graber. Brendan Graber of Ye Old Imagine Games Network, perhaps?
If you want to call it that. I call it imaginary... Wait, what was it? IGN?
Yeah, IGN. That's where you work.
Don't. Inverted Grass Nukes.
Inverted Grass Nukes, okay.
Yeah, let's go with that one.
That's very strange. And to his right, your left.
Hi, everybody, once again. How you doing? I'm John Ryan.
You are John Ryan.
Also from the image-generating... Nipples. Nope. I could have said network and it would have been great, but yes. Then I super didn't and I said nipples instead and I ruined it.
You did say that. Are we going to keep that in there?
It's entirely your show, so.
Well, yes, but it's entirely your call.
I don't give a shit. Nipples, 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 nipples.
Anyway, friends.
If the word nipples bothers you, then the problem is
not. Can I read you mine? I want implying games now.
Okay, what? Implying games? You haven't even been drinking. You don't have an excuse.
Life.
Is that what friends, thank you for coming back to this insanity. Nominally, at least, we are a show about Red Dead Redemption. We're all very excited tonight because we all have cowboy hats on.
Yes.
Yeah.
I also noticed earlier that because we had to pilfer ours from the office, it's sort of a Three Bears situation going on. Like, mine is decidedly way too small. His is decidedly way too large.
But mine's just right because I bought it from a toy store because it's Woody's.
I was going to ask, is that a Sheriff Woody hat?
You're my favorite deputy.
He spun and everything.
In both wonderful and terrible ways.
That was rather beautiful.
My neck.
No, don't do that.
You know, I wonder, we should talk about Toy Story on this show at some point, just because I want an excuse to talk about Toy Story 2, especially with Woody and Jesse and that whole Western mythos that's kind of revealed.
Oh, yeah, Prospector
now.
Pete?
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Frasier in a box.
I listened to a lot of the Laser Time Network, and then a thing recently where they had somebody on talking about a fan theory around Toy Story and Toy Story 2. That if you look really carefully, you notice that Andy's hat is Jesse's hat. Like the hat Andy wears Jesse's hat, not
shit.
Woody's.
It's like the reddish pink.
Right.
Yeah, with the right trim. Yeah.
And the show that Jesse and Woody were based on, nobody's ever heard
Woody's
of.
Roundup, right?
Yeah, Woody's Roundup, nobody's heard of. It's extremely rare. That's why the collectibles are so valuable.
I mean, I thought it was like a thing, you know, it's like Howdy Doody or the Thunderbirds show.
Yeah,
like,
but there's just...
Everyone knew who it was, but...
What's kind of implied that nobody cares except this, like, really, really into it collector in Japan.
Does anyone give a shit about Howdy Doody in 2018?
Actually, you know what? I've been watching Hopalong Cassidy lately for the show. I kid you not.
So again... You who are a very rare collector who's lived in Japan.
That's a very good point. Okay, so yes.
You're basically Wayne Knight.
Well, anyway, the theory is that, and again, it's probably not true, but I love it, that Andy's really attached to Woody.
Mm-hmm.
Andy's dad is not around. Andy wears Jesse's hat. So Andy's mom grew up a fan of Jesse in the show. Andy's dad grew up a fan of Woody in the show.
Aww.
Woody is the last thing Andy has left of his dad.
Oh.
And
that's the sad kind of aw.
And that's what brought the mom and the dad together was this kind of like otaku love of this old TV show.
Oh, good old-fashioned otaku love.
Yeah. Who doesn't love some otaku
Pixar
love?
Pixar conspiracy theories, otaku's confirmed in Toy Story 1, 2, and 3.
I am very much in love, and I really do think the moment that I knew that I could love my wife was when we were still friends and we both started quoting Ninja Turtles the movie and finishing one another's sentences.
100%. That's absolutely one of the signs.
Yeah. I was just like, also Trakuna Mokoidi Sakoram Sadis D. We both knew this spell for substitutionary locomotion for bed knobs and broomsticks.
That's otaku love.
Otaku love.
I'm just going to pretend that I didn't hear that last part just because I don't know what you said and it makes me feel.
Oh, Angela Lansbury's finest role, bed knobs and broomsticks.
Oh, right. Because my huge fan wall for Angela Lansbury, which does exist.
Bedknobs and Broomsticks is a movie where Angela Lansbury uses magic to fight Nazis in World War II and reanimates a castle full of knights to fight a bunch of Nazis on a British
beach. That sounds
beach.
Dope as hell. I'm into it.
You made Harry Potter sound so boring in comparison.
Yeah, it's
well,
an amazing
film.
Well,
I mean, to
film.
Be fair, Harry Potter compared to Angela Lansbury fighting Nazis with magic is pretty much bullshit.
Like that's the scene I want to see like redone.
I don't want to see them redo it in Harry Potter. I just want them to just show me that, just re-release that.
Sure, yeah, re-release
it. Like Cloak and Dagger. It's just one of those obscure fucking movies that... I kind of figured that'd be the reaction you had to that movie.
Okay, in Cloak and Dagger, when he's trapped in the alley and the dice start rolling toward him.
That's a movie that you and I should do. We should, like, have several of these and then watch.
Yeah, Jack Flack escapes! Brendan, have you watched Cloak and Dagger? That seems like a Brendan joint.
No, it's over my head.
Because you like bad movies better than anyone I know.
God, yes.
Oh, yeah, it's...
Yeah, you are a bad movie aficionado.
Yes, I live for that.
This is quite terrible.
Yeah, this is... Have we talked about Red Dead yet?
Oh, God, no. We haven't even said the name of the show yet.
Okay, well, once again, Red Dead Radio, the Red Dead Redemption Podcast. And ladies and gentlemen, this week, a very special episode. Because a couple of weeks ago, we talked about what we want from Red Dead Redemption. Oh. But then we asked you to tell us what you want. And this is actually going to be... We had so many responses. We're still not going to be able to get to all of them. But we're going to break the show up into new parts. We're going to break the show up into two parts.
Two new parts.
Yeah, exactly.
And not like a bullshit accidental two-parter like you and I always do, but an actual planned two-parter.
Yes, a planned two-part episode. So get set, because we're going to go through your responses, what you want from Red Dead Redemption. This is what you want from Red Dead Redemption Volume 1. But before we hop into that, we've got a couple other segments to get to very quickly.
Uh-oh. Is this going to be the ones where we talk about really deep shit?
No, that's later.
Okay,
that's
good.
Later.
Great.
No, this is on the trail because we haven't done that in a while, and nominally people are playing through this game with us.
You said very special episode, so I just sort of assumed it was going to be dealing with Brendan's crippling speed. Yeah,
okay, this is the intervention episode.
Yeah,
it's a very special Punky.
I was lured here under false pretenses.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Anyways, yes, on the trail. Where are you at?
These days? Little Timmy's trapped in a refrigerator, and
that's Fallout 4.
That's it. No. So for on the trail. Last time we went to Exhuming and Other Fine Qualities. That's what we went up to.
Okay.
Which means we've been introduced to Seth and we've been introduced to West. West, the snake oil salesman.
Nigel West Dickens.
Very good.
I told you, I've played the opening of this game like 5 times in the last 5 years.
Yeah, for folks that don't remember, why have you played the opening so many times?
Yeah, why?
Because every time I feel like, I should start that again, for sure. And then it gets like re-released. And after, like, I'll play for a little while and then I'll like get... shit in the way, like life just kind of happens and I stop playing, and then it got really some backwards compatibility, for example, and then I was like, oh shit, I'll play that again for sure, I'll start at the beginning again because I lost all my saves. So now I'm just playing Red Dead Online.
Alright, so now you're just popping back. You keep like coming after me to play Red Dead
Online. I do, because it's still fucking great. it's almost as if you don't believe me when I say
I do
it's
believe
still
you.
Stupidly
I
fun.
I do believe you. I absolutely believe you. I'm just too lazy to do it right now.
Mark my words, Petty. One of these days, I'll get you up in that saddle.
So Seth and West, West the snake oil charmer, the snake oil salesman, and then Seth.
Yeah, he's a hillbilly.
Yeah, kind of archetypical guy who's lost his mind, talks to dead people, exhumes them. He's a grave robber.
Yeah. He's one of those good old-timey Western classics.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about good old-timey Western classics for a second. When you look at Seth, he is sort of archetypical. What aspects of him do you think come from what?
Well, I mean, there's... If we're looking at the typical aspects of Seth, it's that sort of like that cross between the calamitous old coot and, like, the wily prospector. Like, those are two very, very staunch... Western stereotypes, and like we see it with Uncle towards the end of the game, and in the sections that we've seen him in Red Dead 2, where he's more the old coot type, whereas Seth is definitely like crazy bastard in that respect, like mumbles, talks to dead folks, but there's just something more wrong with him.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you first encounter him, and I had completely forgotten this, he is face down in a grave,
yes,
robbing a body.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how you first encounter this dude.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like...
It makes an impression.
It does make an impression. Mm-hmm. I I'm curious, just as a complete aside, do you guys have, like, an ethical problem with grave robbing?
Technically, my last name in German is Gravedigger, so probably not.
Whoa!
Fun.
Like the monster truck?
Sure.
All right.
He means, like, the occupation, but yes, like Gravedigger.
Yeah, the German monster truck family.
Of course.
We have a family crest and a monster truck.
Just two monster trucks.
We built a castle and we ran over the monster truck.
If you would like to draw Brennan Graber's Monster Truck family crest and tweet that at us. Yeah, I'd really appreciate it. Petty comma Jared.
Oh, fan art.
What are you?
At Raga underscore Fraga. That's two G's in each one.
All right. And John?
At USJR.
Yeah, if you want to draw that and tweet it at us, we will use it on the show if you'll send it to us.
Good.
I'll just put it in my living room. I don't care.
Oh, yeah. No, that's going to be your new profile picture across all platforms.
That's freaking great.
As far as grave digging as a moral quandary, I feel like in today's modern age, in quote civilized society, I think it's super fucked up. Unless you're... No, it's just super fucked up.
Now, what about archaeology then?
Well, so that is...
It belongs in a museum!
When I say grave robbing, I think of it in the sense of someone who has been
dead.
Not
gonna say so to you.
Huh?
You're not gonna say so to you.
I thought about it. I could have been like, so to you.
Sorry. No, please take it again.
No, I didn't want to be Donovan, you know.
That's not Donovan.
That's not Donovan. That's the guy. That's the Coronado guy. Yeah, you're right. Sorry.
I've always wondered, is he a descendant of Coronado? Because that's the name of the ship and it's the cross of Coronado.
I think he was just like a Coronado atop.
No, he is not a descendant. Because the guy that's got the Indiana Jones hat early on in the movie is like, Coronado's dead, and so are all of his grandchildren. Remember? No, he's not. Fair, that's right.
But also, you lost today, kid. That doesn't mean you have to like it.
Yeah.
Fucking wise words. And then he puts,
Speaking of westerns, the first 18 minutes of Last Crusade.
I mean, pretty much most.
It's train robbery chase, horse race through the desert. Anyway, we're not going to get
100%.
Back to what you were saying about...
I feel like in terms of archaeology is different than robbing graves, right?
How so?
So it's technically the same activity. Mm-hmm. But if we're talking exhuming for science or historical accuracy versus somebody died 2 weeks ago and I know for a fact they had a really expensive pendant on when they went in the ground, I'm going to dig them up and take that. There's a difference between those two things.
But what if
it
was magical?
Well, then, of course, fucking steal it. Then you get magic.
I think a lot of it comes down to the crime against the living versus crime against the dead. The dead don't care.
Right.
We know that. But the living, the people that live behind, if they found out somebody dug my dead sister up.
Oh, yeah.
To get her jewelry and then just left.
I didn't get to it first. I mean, that's terrible.
Mostly that.
That's a crime against the living. That's a crime against the survivors, honestly. With archaeology, you don't really have a crime against the survivors. It's happened a long time ago. You can, on the other hand, steal, say, another nation's cultural treasures. And that becomes a whole other issue.
Yeah, but then you just say, hey, we found these. Have them back, please.
But they didn't always do that. It was more like, let's smuggle it back.
That's why, aside from... everything else happening, the present is slightly better.
Slightly.
Actually, some of that stuff just went on fairly recently. There was a guy got caught with a bunch of smuggled artifacts only about a year ago.
And I had to 100% return a bunch missed of that guy.
Pay compensation. Yeah, that was a... Archaeology, theoretically, is there to enhance culture and our understanding of history and our understanding of our fellow people. And so, conducted properly, I think it does have a kind of a value of enrichment.
Of course.
Yeah. Although, as Henry Jones reminded us, X never, ever marks the spot.
I mean,
except
did
when
you
it does,
not
in a literal giant X.
Did you not see the news where they just found a giant black sarcophagus in Egypt and they don't know what's inside it?
I did, and it's clearly aliens.
No, what? It's clearly Imhotep, and you mustn't read from the book.
No, they're 100%. It's going to be
one job, people.
Don't read from the book.
Here's the fun part. We're fucked. It's going to be sand walls forever with faces in it.
Giant sand faces.
Yep. Kind or maybe giant water faces, but it's not going to be nearly as fun or as cool as the first time you see a giant sand face.
Well, then again, if this brings Brendan Fraser to retirement to save the world.
Just think before you speak, please.
Come on.
No. I
will forever hold his torch.
Made Monkey Bone.
He did make, but he also made Dudley Do-Right.
He did.
Not putting many in the wind column. Airheads, sure. Blast from the Past, weird but okay.
Blast from the Past is very strange.
It's very strange.
That's a weird movie.
It is. Sometimes an uncomfortable movie to watch.
Yes, certainly. I'm thinking of one scene in particular.
That we're not going to talk about. I can think of several scenes off the top of my head right now.
But I'll go to bat for the original Mummy.
The first remake of the Mummy. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Honestly, even the Mummy Returns.
Yeah.
I went back to the Mummy Returns and memories were not as fond.
Nope, still great.
Really?
Sorry.
Yeah.
See, the one for me that really still cinches it is the cab chase through London where the fast mummies are running along the side of the National Museum. I'm all about that sequence. And the rest of the movie can fuck off.
No, I'm all about when they go recruit that a kooky sidekick with the eye patch.
The dirigible guy?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. And he's like, hell yes. I thought you were going to shoot me in the ass. He's like, no, you're right. I'm going to shoot you in the ass. I'm like, I love this.
The part with the zombie pygmies was a little much. Well, I think that was weird.
They only really lost me when they got rid of Rachel Weisz for no reason.
Well, that, but also CG Rock Scorpion King with the eyebrow. Let's never
forget that. That was amazing.
Never. No.
Although it did, that did lead to us getting Scorpion King, which is kind of not too bad. Swords and Sandals flick. I kind of like it.
Yeah.
I think I have to seriously reconsider our friendship after those words came out of your mouth.
I kind of like the Scorpion King.
Sorry, I'm on this side of history. You're on the wrong side.
You know what? No. You know what? No. I will firmly sit on the right side of history. Y'all enjoy your fucking dipshit ass terrible rock movie. Dwayne, you're great. Just can't wait to go see Rampage.
Wait a minute. You're coming to the defense of Rampage?
No, I'm just saying I can't wait to go see it. No, absolutely not. It is going to be hot garbage.
Dwayne's done some really great stuff.
I legitimately really like watching him in movies.
Yeah, me too.
I think he's great.
Jumanji Eric was really good. I didn't think it would be good.
Which one?
The Jumanji.
I didn't see that one. We talked about this last time I was here.
Yeah. Expound, Brendan.
No, it's like, it's actually one of the best video game adaptations.
Yeah, it's really good.
Because it's more focused on like an Atari than it is like on a board game, but they still make references. But then they also make really funny puns on like how player characters and NPCs work in a game.
Yes.
Yeah, we were talking about that when I first came on.
Yeah, when they're just talking about like, here's the main spiel for the main quest. I'm going to repeat my dialogues. That's all I know how to say.
Yep.
And like how like you can retry a level if you can't fail it the first time. Like,
yeah.
I just love how they incorporated it in.
We've actually talked about that on here, about how Rockstar's kind of let folks know that the direction they're going for is to sort of make the world very living, where you feel like the NPCs are up to something when you're not there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that sequence in Jumanji where you're literally hanging out with the NPCs when they're not around the player characters.
So like,
and that's what's going on. So we haven't talked
much finally bringing it back.
About the missions, but you know what? We talked about some other wonderful things. And what I think people are really here for is the topic of the day today, which is what you want from Red Dead Redemption.
Let's hear it.
Right after the break, we're going to that. But hey, if you're going to play along with us next week, there's not going to be On the Trail segment, but 2 weeks from now,
it'll be Red Dead Online.
No, it's going to be the Assault on Fort Mercer. That's what we're going to talk about.
And then it will be Red Dead Online.
Yeah, we're going to do it, John.
I don't believe you.
We're going to do it.
Brendan will do it with me before he does it. And he hasn't played this game in 8 years.
Okay, you know what? We're going to make it happen. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back sans hats, except for this fella right here.
Sorry.
So, ladies and gentlemen, the main topic of the day, what you want from Red Dead Redemption. So many messages.
All of them about steamboats and paddle boats.
Yeah, all kinds of exciting stuff here.
Steamboats and paddle boats.
All right, steamboats and paddle boats indeed. All right, let's roll down here to the first question.
Who we got. Right. That's your new theme song right there. Sorry, Cisco.
Hey, Jared. Huge fan. I'm just going to bathe in that for a moment.
Okay.
Nice.
A couple weeks ago, I thought of a way for Red Dead 2 to end, but I'm not sure how the game would continue after this happens. This kind of Red Dead fanfic. This is what he wants.
Ooh, I'm into it. Give
Arthur
me that
survives.
Cannon.
All right. Arthur survives through the game, and he sells out the gang to the U.S. government, and they hide away and changes his identity. After this happens, there's a time jump to where the Old West is dead, like the early 1920s. We see an empty saloon, and inside there's this old, sad man drinking alone. A mysterious gunslinger walks into the saloon, and he approaches Arthur and says, "Arthur, I've been looking for you for a very long time. You knew my father." And the gunslinger removes his hat, and we see Jack Marston. And Jack pulls out a gun, places it on the table, and says, "Let's do this outside. One final duel." The two characters walk outside, and they start the duel, and the cutscene fades to black as we hear gunshots, and Red Dead Redemption 2 fades onto the screen, and credits roll. That's from Parker.
Parker, I'm super into that.
Yeah.
I think there's minimal chance that we'll see it actually happen, but like, I love the, was that Mafia 1 or Mafia 2 where they did that?
I don't remember.
I think it was the first one where like the game ends and then it's you as like a 60-year-old man like trimming roses in front of your lawn in New Jersey, and like a car pulls up out front and there's like It was really horrifying when I first played through it. And I think that would be a super interesting tack to take, like where it's, you know, because there is that notion of, you know, redemption and consequences for the things that you do and seeing how it all sort of comes back around. That notion that, you know, as we saw in the end of the first Red Dead, like no matter how well you try and do, no matter how far you run, you can't escape your past and thereby what's coming to you.
And you can't escape progress. You can't escape modernity. Right. It catches up with you and destroys your sense of freedom. That's a very common theme in that first one. I don't know. What do you think, Brennan?
I think the only way it could be better is if it ended up with a very slow, old Snake Metal Gear Solid 4 brawl where they're just slowly punching each other and reliving their memories.
On top of a giant
robot.
Yeah,
the music goes through from Red Dead Revolver forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have hated things more, but not many.
Are you don't like fist fighting on top of a submarine for 20 minutes?
No. No.
Well, I'm surprised.
I thought the only good part of that whole sequence was the fact that A, the music was pulled from each individual game, and the health bars and camera angle styles also swapped. I thought that was super neat. There was zero reason for that to exist beyond that.
Everything about that idea was extremely clever, except that you were playing bad Street Fighter 2 on top of a robot.
Yep.
Like if it
you were playing Virtua Fighter 2.
What if it had been one final infiltration sequence where it kept changing feel? Like
you mean
that?
You didn't like crawling through a tunnel for 10 minutes?
I don't know. Well, somehow they made climbing a ladder for 10 minutes good in a game.
Well, that's because there was a kick-ass musical number behind it.
Yeah, that's true.
The tunnel did not have that. It was just, I'm in pain, I'm in pain, I'm in pain,
ow,
I'm in pain.
I want
to
die.
We are determined not to talk about Red Dead Redemption 2 today.
You know what? It's fine. I will 100% devote this episode to shitting on bad Metal Gear Solid stuff because I wholeheartedly love that franchise.
You know what? That we'll save that for
that'll be its own podcast. You and I'll have our own Metal Gear Solid show.
Snake Dead Radio.
Ooh, I like that.
There you go.
Just snake.
There it is. Just snake.
Snake. How many podcasts out there do you think that are called the Codec? Like, just how many Metal Gear
podcasts? Patent pending.
There we go.
Only one now, and it's ours.
All right, on to the next one. Howdy. One of the things I'd like to see in the game first would be an evolving environment. I want to see that people and places I come in contact with evolve. Like Back to the Future 3, you got a sense that Doc and Marty were witnessing the changes in Hill Valley around them.
Yeah.
Okay, that's actually kind of a cool point. As far as the action element, I want a full-blown train heist, blueprints, station timetables, pinpoints from drop-off locations, team handoffs, etc. Then on a personal note, for a skin, I'd like one of those ridiculous full-blown singing cowboy outfits with a bright neon-colored shirt with fringe and furry chaps and a guitar slung on my back. Happy trails. That's from Mario.
Not a mariachi.
No, like a Gene Autry singing cowboy.
Yeah, singing cowboy.
Okay,
cool. Roy Rogers. Like,
for sure.
That's amazing.
I'd really enjoy that. I would also like one that is just the giant neon cowboy sign from Honey, I Blew Up the Kid. You know what I mean?
I want a neon cowboy.
Hey, John, can you turn your mic just slightly towards you? I think we're not picking
like
up as well.
This.
Oh, wow. That's suddenly, you're much more,
now
much,
you can all
much
hear
easier
my
hear.
Sultry baritone.
Wait, I wonder if this is what's going on with mine. No, I'm just mic obsessed. Okay. John's probably tired of hearing me talk about mics.
No, I mean, I feel like, sorry, what was the guy's name that sent that in?
Mario. This is from Mario.
Mario. I think Mario is onto something with the notion of the world sort of evolving around you. I don't necessarily, we know that we won't be able to like burn down a forest or like knock down a town. Like it's not like Red Faction Tides of Destruction where you go and you throw a Molotov and then there's not a town there anymore. But I think that we will see things evolve throughout the world. So in the demo that I saw, we watched, as we were riding around, we saw a dude like, you know, building a barn. We see, you know, railroad tracks getting laid, and like it would stand to reason that given the amount of time that we're going to spend in each area, we'll see those tasks getting completed.
Okay.
Especially since it seems like we'll be seeing things sort of last over a period of time.
Yeah.
I think that that's definitely something we can totally see.
It is a hard thing to do in a game. Like, everyone wants that kind of, like, world that goes along with you. If you look at other open world games, like, you know, Skyrim, like, things change in that world. Like, as you progress the Civil War, like, cities would be, like, attacked and whatever, but, like, people always wanted the next step. Like, right. I wanted, like, everyone to, like, die here, and, like, I want everyone to remember my name, like... And then in reality, it's like, oh, hey, you're that dragonborn / assassin / maid's guild / thief / sneak guy slash guy with
the
good
sneak guys.
Sneak guys, eh? Sneak king, perhaps?
Oh, don't get me
I always hate it when I was like the dragonborn and they were just like, don't steal my sweet roll. I'm like, I can just shot you off into oblivion, really.
Like, literally, I'm the fucking dragonborn.
There's things that I would love to, like, see as a world. Like, people realize what you do and your impact on the world.
Yeah.
And things change because of that.
Okay, so I like that point. I want to take a quick tangent just because Sneak King came up a second ago. Mm-hmm. And ask why in the world you have a shrink-wrapped copy of Sneak King on your desk.
That's Barrett's. Don't even try and pin that on me.
Barrett Courtney?
Yeah, sad boy Barrett.
That explains enough. All right, that, I don't need to ask.
There
any,
you go.
No, yeah, I have Beyonce Two Souls on
you
my
do
desk.
Have that. My real problem is that it's just shrink wrapped and not actively in use. That's the real problem.
Yeah, the fact that there is a sealed
the fact
copy
that it is there and I am not game. Actively playing it every second of every day.
All right, that's what we want in Red Dead Redemption. More
Sneak King.
Sneak King.
I want Sneak King Redemption 2.
Actually, I don't. I could if no video game ever had a stealth segment again. As long as I live, that would be okay with me. So Red Dead doesn't need them either.
Love. Stealth games.
Yes and no. I'm with you there. If it's
I don't
done,
like
sloppily. Sloppy stealth, I'm over.
I don't like stealth is optional for this mission kind of stuff and games that are not primary stealth based.
Okay.
No, like so, if I'm going to play Mark of the Ninja where the whole game's built around it, I'm totally in.
Yeah, or like an actual honest to God Thief. Not the Thief reboot or whatever they made. The old classic Thieves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A Splinter Cell game where you actually die in one hit, where you're not supposed to be seen. Not the, I'm going to mark targets and shoot five people at once.
Right.
That's where stealth is like, ugh.
Not Splinter Cell Far Cry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a game where it's like, you've been an action gun here the entire time, but oh, in this section, if you get seen once, you're dead.
That's the one that always pisses me off the most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else was Mario talking about?
Don't worry about it. We're moving on to the next one.
Sorry, Mario.
No, that's okay. Hola, amigos.
Hola.
Firmly devoted to the explorer class of gamer type. I'd love to see more depth in the musical score while exploring. In Red Dead Redemption, we had a great score, by the way. We got a lot of floaty, incidental whistles and twangs while getting from place to place. I'd love to see a more emergent system that's dedicated to how you play. For example, imagine you decided to take a break from the main quest and explore. You and your trusty steed find yourself navigating a steep mountain ridge. Look at these. Good verbs. Speared with frosted trees. Suddenly,
this is a really
new
nice
score.
Word picture.
Yeah, very good. Suddenly, a new score fades in, one that perfectly matches the haunting slopes and melancholy of the scene. The game is adjusted to where you are, what you're doing, and how you're playing it. A cinematic moment is happening, and you have created it. Do you know what I mean? An even richer and more layered music system that really puts you in the game's world even deeper would be something sweet to shoot for, I reckon. Hey, I love the I reckon.
Good.
Many thanks, Pards. See you down the trail.
Pards.
That's from Sosh.
Sosh?
Yeah.
It seems like you sort of just hit the nail right on the head. Based on what I saw a few months ago, like, that's essentially how it functions. You know, I can't speak, of course, in super great detail to the creative process of their scoring team, but we know that there's a bunch of different composers working on each individual component of it. And, you know, it was that situation where as we were riding around, the music would change sort of based on location. Like you saw that sort of burned out town area at the end of the third trailer, I think, maybe the second trailer, I forget which one. And we sort of found an area that looked much like that, where it was clearly, it was like it went from being a beautiful sunny day to essentially like gray. The ground was burnt out. Bits of buildings were hanging off. They were all just sort of husks. Like something bad had happened here.
Yeah.
And accordingly, like the music sort of shifted from it wasn't like, you know, plunky, you know, exploration Western music.
Okay.
But it went from the what I'll call the normal background music into a very ominous sort of just like solemn set of tones, and then as we passed through, it got more and more intense, and then as we left, it got lesser and lesser and lesser and waved out and wove itself out. Similarly, we went to rob a bank, and like as soon as we rode into town, there'd been relatively little music on the way in, but as soon as our boots hit the walkway outside the bank, there was this really fucking rad steel guitar strum snap. It's like, poing! It's like, okay, you're fucking about to rob a bank.
Yeah,
like,
you mentioned that in an earlier show. Like, I love that, the boots hit the ground thing. What about you, Brendan? What do you think about this?
I'm such a fan of adaptive music in games. Any game where what you're doing or where you are, the music will just slightly shift to accommodate you, I cannot get enough of that. Trying to think of some good examples. I know, even though it had a lot of sparse music in Breath of the Wild, there were some occasions when you first go from just the main areas towards the Hyrule Castle Town, which has all been burned up by those giant guardian robots, it starts to get like this really kind of creepy vibe. And then once you get to the castle itself, then it's like the swelling music starts happening. Mm-hmm. And it's low at first, but the higher you climb, the grander the music gets. And when you go inside the castle, you start to hear all these organs. You come outside, the organs fade away. And like the way it just respects what you're doing and following your adventure,
yeah.
Not trying to say, oh, you have to go here if you want this. It's like, right. Oh, go here? All right, we'll shift accordingly.
Now, I like that a lot, too. And I love the idea he has here to say, and by the way, it pays attention to what you're doing. I mean, yeah. Just to be like, hey, are you shooting off a lot of shots? Are you running around? You know, adapt the music to how you're actually choosing to interact with that area.
That's I just thought of was also really good as the Deus Ex games, the recent ones, Human Revolution and Mankind Divided, they actually had layered soundtracks where if you're just walking, it's one beat. If you're sneaking, it's another beat. If you're sneaking close to someone, the tension rises. As you get away from them, the tension goes down. If you get into a firefight, then it starts exploding. And then when the firefight's over, it goes down the sneaking theme, and it's back down. Neat. I love how those soundtracks play out.
Yeah, that kind of dynamic music. The earliest example of that I can think of, and I'm sure there are much earlier ones that just aren't occurring to me, but I there was a time that this was new, and I remember it having a huge impact on me. The first time I played Super Mario Brothers, I didn't know how to run. Like I didn't know, and I didn't really know what I was doing. And suddenly I'm playing the game, and suddenly the theme to the game gets faster.
Yeah.
Now that's such a staple of video games now, but there was a time that was new.
Oh, that's a completely novel concept.
And it's like, and I instantly understood something was very wrong. Yeah. And for the first time I paid attention, looked at the timer, was like, oh no,
Shit.
You know, what's going to happen? It was great. And that people can use that to such effect to change the experience. I like that. We're going to switch over here in a minute to the messages we got from Twitter. Lots and lots of people wrote in with their suggestions for what they wanted from Red Dead Redemption on Twitter.
Nice.
And we'll switch to those in a moment. But first, we're going to take a quick break. And we're back with more of what you want from Red Dead Redemption. Thank you so much for staying with us here. All right, this one from...
Objection.
Overruled.
Sustained.
I overruled it.
No, okay.
I can do that.
No. Because I have to hit you with some feedback of your own.
Uh-oh.
What do you got here?
So yesterday you told me that you wanted me to be an episode where we read some feedback and some emails. So I did the natural thing, and I pulled up some guide feedback from Jared, from games that Jared had worked on in the past.
Oh, no. As someone who actively knows these feedback lines.
Wait a minute. Okay, so let's contextualize. Because I didn't know you were doing this. What are we talking? Okay.
They're very short.
I used to work at IGN.
You used to write guides for IGN.
I used to write guides for IGN.
Brendan and I currently work in the Wikis department. We used to work there with Jared.
Mm-hmm. And so these are feedback
people
have left.
He wasn't around for this little thing.
We now take feedback from our users. If you're using our wiki and you do find something wrong with it, like any of the pages Jared worked on, you can let us know.
They weren't all bad.
No, most of them were very good.
Be honest. My sins have found me out here.
Oh, okay. they're about to.
I mean,
first one is from Batman Arkham Origins guide.
Oh, okay, that guy doesn't deserve to exist.
Excuse me.
Okay, Batman Arkham Origins, I got halfway through, and at my save game, Batman started falling through the floor.
Oh, God, that's right. I remember that. Yes.
Yeah, there's a reason.
Before you offer a defense of your life.
The defense is that I was falling perpetually through space at my save, and no matter what happened when I reloaded, I emerged falling through a tunnel of nothingness.
All right, another outburst like that, and you'll be held in contempt of court, because this is now a tribunal.
Good news is this is one from an earlier part of the game. From the Deathstroke in the Arena page. Reason, I need to know some moves. I need to know some moves.
Hit the man with some moves, Jared.
Okay, well.
Give me your best moves.
The best moves for that section were, this is a freaking QTE. You're playing Dragon's Lair on a PlayStation game. A terrible, PlayStation game.
I really love how you legitimately braced for like the worst, most scathing critique.
Another good one you did, I believe, was Dark Souls 2. Did you work on that a little bit?
I worked on that a lot.
Yeah, I think you wrote the intro to this walkthrough and Things Betwixt.
Oh, no.
So here's a reason for flagging the page. How the fuck do I get past the statue?
How indeed?
How do you get past the statue?
Things Betwixt? Yeah, is there a statue there?
Apparently there was, because this guy couldn't get the fuck past it.
I don't remember a statue.
Here's the question. Was he playing that on New Game Plus, and you did not write the guide for New Game Plus in that particular section?
It would be the same environment.
Well, we did. You do remember
this, but
like,
New Game Plus throws a bunch of extra shit in there.
I wasn't playing that part of New Game Plus. But I don't know if you guys remember this. We had the game early. And
we did. That's right.
We wanted to explore Covenants because that was a big deal early on. We knew Covenants were going to be a big deal. And so the very first Covenant I found, I immediately joined, and the game was very obtuse about what the Covenant was.
Right.
And it's a Dark Souls game, so I'm just getting wrecked by this game for several days.
It was the Covenant of bullshit.
I had unknowingly joined the Covenant that made the game much, much harder.
Great job.
And was effectively playing Dark Souls on hard mode from the very beginning. And the moment I finally went back and just restarted the game.
And I
breezed through the first half of the game. Just like,
of course. I'm a god now.
I was like, good lord, I've become a ninja. It was amazing. And then I got to those C-3PO guys and screw them.
Still don't know how to get past that statue, though. Sorry.
I thought you were going to make fun of stuff I'd written.
This is feedback. I mean, this is a little gentle.
We're not that quick.
Last feedback comes from a game you remember very well. It's called Fallout 4.
I'm familiar with that game.
You wrote a lot of that walkthrough, including the companions page, to which we have this wonderful feedback. This is bullshit. Why can't I romance everyone?
To be fair, that is bullshit.
It's very true.
That's true. Like,
damn it, Todd Howard, you fix it this instant.
Todd, you take your cool leather jacket and your fun West Virginia song, and you let me fuck.
The working here was worth being able to stick a you can dance with if you want a paletted dance joke and something we made.
Oh, of course.
Okay, well, thank you for those.
You're welcome. Back to
this whole section is being cut out.
No, not at all. It'll totally be there. So now that this delightful diversion has passed, we're going to move back to what you want from Red Dead Radio. This from Ethan.
Ethan.
Ethan wants very good server structure. I want a polished online experience with dedicated servers and private server functionality.
Ooh, that'd be dope. Shrug. I mean, we have no idea what the online component of this actually looks like. We've got ideas. We've kind of talked about that a little bit before. I feel like after the launch experience that we had with GTA Online, I feel like they're not going to ship the launch component of Red Dead, whatever it may be, until it's damn good and ready to come out.
I could see it taking a while.
Yeah. Oh, I would be surprised if it came out within 2 weeks or a month after launch.
But you think it'd be pre-Christmas, right?
That's a good
question. I think so.
Yeah, I think you'll launch it before Christmas.
Unless
you don't want your dev team hanging around the holidays.
Yeah, if they weren't sure that it was going to be stable, they might not want to do it.
I mean, even so though, like I wouldn't if the line was, hey, this isn't coming until the first of the year, but it's so that there isn't a problem like there was last time, I'm A-okay with that. Because like you know damn well there's going to be more than enough content in that game to hold you through.
Yeah, months. They're going to have months worth of stuff you do just by yourself before you even have to worry about
online. Plus like all the other shit coming out this fall.
I do suspect that they would want to own Christmas break with online.
I have to assume they would as well. But like, again,
so my guess is you just tell the team, look, we're going to be here through the holidays. I mean, that's probably...
Yeah, I mean, the thing on that front is too, like, you've already been working nonstop for 8 years.
Uh-huh.
Like, what's another 2 months?
But not only that, but I figure Rockstar would probably, anticipating the launch of the product and looking at the support needs and having learned that lesson from GTA Online when they first launched it, I suspect that they would build their staffing needs around that. Like, that they'd stagger things so that there were
people in place. I mean, I think that would be a smart move on their part. So I assume that, you know, they're smart fellas and ladies. They'll know what they're doing.
All right, Chief Brennan, when it comes to a customization around the servers, is there anything you'd really like to be able to do? Any new ability, any ability to go in there and stick your fingers in and change stuff?
I'm trying to think. Like, I don't usually play online too much on a lot of time these days, but I do think having a private function would be great.
Yeah.
If you just don't want to deal with
others.
the randomness that could bring, where if you just want to have your PlayStation and not have it marred by, you know, someone doing who knows what. Sometimes they don't do anything at all.
Yeah, I like the idea of being able to have your own Clubhouse instance where your social club only can come in and play on that server. It allows you to practice missions, allows you to practice team tactics together.
I'm really curious to see if we're going to see a heartier competitive side or crew in Red Dead Online as opposed to GTA. Because, I mean, there are folks who can throw down in GTA between the crews, the gangs, the groups. But I don't think it's sort of looked at as like a competitive experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious to see whether or not we'll see that change for Red Dead Online.
Okay, I wondered about that.
Do you think it would alienate some players?
No, I mean, so they sort of did this with Red Dead, the original Red Dead Redemption Online, where like you had friendly mode servers where you just couldn't fuck with anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's the potential to have that again, or to have like a light PvP server or whatever.
John, will you rotate your mic just slightly?
Again?
Yeah, just a little
this
more.
Way?
No, other way. Other
this way.
There we go.
I did it this way earlier.
Oh, I meant for it to go the other way.
This okay. way.
There you go.
Okay.
Wow. I can hear you so much better now.
Are you sure it's just not me moving around it because I do this when I talk?
You do that, but I'm getting you much
swirl.
I'm definitely getting you much better now.
Okay, cool. I'm glad you can hear me.
Yeah, I'm actually going to have to edit your, like, boost your voice before this.
Oh, shit, amazing. I'm sorry.
No, that's my fault. I should have warned
I'm
you.
I'm sorry, Jared.
You did nothing wrong at all.
I did a lot wrong.
You
just don't
know
about it.
Wow, I'm picking you up so much better. This is amazing.
It's like I can hear you. Yeah, oh, like, sorry.
Well, we get a lot of people that talk about the audio. So, but, okay, well, anyway. Da-da-da-da. All right, moving on to the next one here. This one from Caleb. A great story. A story that's better than the first. And side quests that actually matter. I'm so sick of fetch quests that don't pertain to the story. There's an endless supply of those. I'd rather have half the side quests with triple the substance.
How do you make a good side quest, Caleb? That is the question that so many developers are trying to solve.
You mean it's not just going out and killing 17 pigs?
But what if those pigs all had family members and you slaughtered their tribe, and then an hour later, the pig cavalry arrives and they've actually awoken an ancient evil because you kill all those pigs.
I like some fucking bacon.
I like your fanfic here. Where is this coming from?
Yeah.
It's coming for...
Are you playing The Witcher again?
See, that's... I think unintended consequences from side quests can make them a lot more interesting.
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Besides, there's two ways I like side quests on. One are the unintended consequences, the chain ones, where you do something and then you don't really hear about it for a little bit later. And then later in the game, it's like, hey, remember that thing you did? Well, this happened. Nice job, jerk. And they're like, okay.
I always do love that
one. Now I got to fix this. The other ones are, they're less about your objective and more about the story that's told as you venture on, which I think that sometimes Bethesda does very well with their environmental storytelling, where you might be going through a dungeon to get, you know, a doodad, but it's what happened in that dungeon.
Doodads.
Yeah. But it's what happened in that dungeon that really kind of goes like, oh, this is kind of neat. Like, hey, there was some bandits that came here looking for something and they all got killed by zombies.
Yeah.
And then there was something necromancer at the end. Like things that you're not expecting when you first take on a quest.
For sure.
Can really help the narrative.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, you know, I hollered at The Witcher a second ago, but like, I mean, I really do think that that game handles side quests in almost better than any other game I can think of in recent memory that does it.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only do they take the time to say, okay, like, yes, there's a shit ton of side quests in The Witcher 3, but they all are produced to the same quality level as a main story mission.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, they all have individual characters who have their own motivations, who have their own fears and desires and wants. They all have at least somewhat of a compelling narrative to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the neat thing about Red Dead 2 is that we'll sort of... I feel like there's going to be a balance mm-hmm. between... You've got like activities that you sort of have to do the day to day to keep the camp running, to keep the gang together and fed and supplied. But then there'll probably be, I don't think there'll be like loyalty missions or anything, but I'm sure that your fellow gang members will have favors they need help with. And the fact that they're investing so much in these gang members, like in all of the press that we've seen so far, all of the focus has been sort of on Arthur as a character, how he deals with people, all of the members of this gang sort of feeling like his family and how he has to protect them and deal with them and work to make their lives better. And so I would be very surprised if we saw, you know, Bill Williamson say, hey, Arthur, I need you to go slaughter me 16 pigs. Like, I just don't see that happen.
Don't think that's
I have
like
a personal favor for you. Please kill 16 boars.
But I do think that, like, killing 16 pigs, there's an interesting mission to be made from that.
Oh, there totally
depends
is.
On what happens when
but
you go to kill the 16
when
pigs.
When I say kill 16 pigs, you know I'm talking about, like, level 2 in WoW, Like, yeah. Oh, hello, adventurer. Hey, these pesky swine have really been fucking up my grape seeds. Yep. I need to make some wine.
Time to
here,
go stab some bunnies.
And then at level 60, they just replace pesky swine with pesky dark Eldar demons.
Pretty much.
Have been invading my space farm.
I mean, if what are your favorite Rockstar side quests? I mean, Red Dead Redemption is an eight-year-old video game.
Yep.
And video game design, while Red Dead was very influential on it, has changed a lot since then.
Yeah.
And actually, I like a lot of the side quests. You have things like a lot of the missions that are built around madness add so much flavor to the game. This
yeah.
idea that this is a desolate land where people that don't really fit into the rest of society are living kind of on their own in this really... If you ever read Son of the Morning Star, you get this idea for just how hard...
Yeah.
Life in the West was and what
yeah,
it
was
just
abjectly terrible for everybody.
Yeah.
I know it's not a Red Dead thing, but one of my favorite Rockstar side missions is in GTA 5. I know you know that game very intimately.
I do.
There is a Strangers and Freaks mission for Trevor where he essentially agrees to help a pair of old people from London steal a bunch of celebrity memorabilia. And it's the weirdest goddamn quest line. And it
this.
Happens like several... There's yep. like 5 to 7 missions for
yeah, there's
people.
A bunch of it.
And it's like, you know, you jump over the fence of this guy's yard. You like go through his garbage. You find like his, you know, underwear. You give it to this old lady.
I
and
remember
like,
all these.
She's super excited to have it.
Yeah.
Like, and it's shit like that where it's like, that is... By its bare bones, that's just a fetch quest.
Uh-huh.
But it provides me a lot of insight into both A... Trevor, because
yeah.
he would agree to do this for somebody.
Right.
And of course, that's just me agreeing to do it. So, I mean, maybe the problem there is actually with me.
Maybe.
But him as a character, or I shouldn't say or, but and, it just reinforces sort of the madness that is this version of America in GTA 5.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, no, you don't come to America to see the sights. You come to America to steal people's garbage.
What about you, Brennan?
I don't know. I'm drawing a blank.
Okay.
Right, I do like that quest, though.
It was a good quest.
And there's a couple for me. They're both from... I mean, obviously, that we've talked before about the quest for the flowers in
yeah.
Red Dead. That's a really good one. For me, I think it's a couple, both from GTA 5. One of those is the one where Franklin meets the dog.
Oh, that's such a good one.
Yeah.
I fucking love
it's
that one.
Never
the skydiving mission, right?
Yeah, the one where yeah. the dog is talking.
Never
to
explained, but it's a talking dog.
Never explained.
Yeah.
I think sometimes the weirdest ones are often the best ones. The ones that you
oh,
just 100%. You're going like, what just happened?
Yeah, I just went through a Twin Peaks episode.
Was this a bug?
Pretty
was this
much.
Intended?
Yeah.
Is this developer intended?
Yeah. It's the shit that's designed to make you endlessly claw at the walls, but there's nothing on the other side.
Yeah, and I love it. This is like Franklin and this talking dog.
Yeah.
It's like, where's your dog, mister? Like, what dog?
What dog?
Oh, yeah, that's great. And they just never go back yeah. to it.
What was the other one?
The other one is the most infuriating series of missions in GTA 5.
Spaceship
which,
parts?
Epsilon.
Oh, God.
I think Epsilon
if there was
a joke of Andy Kaufman-esque
oh, 100%. God almighty. That one is...
Going through all those mundane tasks and then... You can get $2.5 million, which at that point in the game, if you're not playing the stock market, is a sizable sum of money.
Oh, yeah. And then you can use that in the stock market.
Right. Or an old tractor.
I mean, to be fair, it's a nice tractor. It's a really nice
tractor. It's a nice
rusty.
Old tractor.
It's a rusty
it's
old nasty
charm.
Tractor.
It's a charming
it's got character,
tractor.
God damn it.
But one of those missions is literally walking in circles in the desert.
Yeah. But it makes you an amateur engineer, doesn't it?
It does, because then you rig your controller so you
exactly.
can walk away from your desk.
Jared here took a rubber band and was it a thumbtack or just
I think
tape?
So, yeah.
And,
it was a thumbtack.
And rubber banded around his controller and just looped it around the side so that Michael would keep walking around in a circle out in the desert so that Jared could go get lunch.
Yeah.
It was very good.
It was lovely. And all those missions are like that. But
yeah.
I do think it's a bunch. If you want to know more about making a good side quest, you should go to IGN.com where you can read the top 10 side quests of all time. Written by
did you write that article?
Yours truly.
No way.
You didn't include the ones I sent you, though. By the way.
Ooh.
You know what? Why don't you just read some more? Read some more old embarrassing
blogs. Yeah, here's
I wrote.
One. It's from the Fallout DLC. Why didn't you include the side quest where you can make love to a robot?
Okay, well that's a good
in way. A murder mystery side quest with robots.
It's really good.
That's
it's
not
a good
in
side
here.
Quest. I had to choose Sorry. Between the murder mystery robot and Walt Disney's Frozen Head.
So you chose the robot.
I chose Walt Disney's Frozen Head.
You chose poorly.
I love that mission so much.
Sort of getting back to track, though. I think the as far as side missions go, the other nice thing about this is because we were sort of talking a minute ago about how they're trying to make those NPCs sort of exist without you, I feel like they're sort of going to make their own side missions for you.
Yeah.
I feel like the thing about Rockstar games, especially in the last couple, Red Dead, GTA 4, GTA 5, is that those are water cooler games.
Yeah.
You know, if you and, you know, three or four people have, or your friends are all playing at the same time, you see them at work, you hop on the group chat, and it's like, hey, I did this fucking crazy thing last night, what about you? And I feel like that is going to be taken to the nth degree with this idea of every single person has purpose, has a life that you can affect.
Yeah.
Or that they can affect yours with. I'm really curious to see.
I love the idea that, like, this isn't going to happen, but I love the idea that, like, in the last scene of this game, maybe they break the fourth wall or something. You've, like, gone through all the drama and you've gotten away with it. Like, you've gotten where you need to get.
Yep.
And you walk through a final door and you close it and then turn around and you're in a vast room and on the other side is everyone you've ever screwed over. Every NPC
that's
you've
just hell.
Ever screwed over in the history hell. Of the game.
So it's like the trial
and
all, Jerry like, Seinfeld?
Close in on you and
they
then
just
the
pull
game
a scar
fades to black.
And
yeah, it's just that's the end. And that's the end of the game.
That would be horrifying, especially the way that I play games.
It'd be incredible. But I prefer for
I regret
like a,
nothing.
Oh yeah, if every big open world game had a tally of my sins, yeah. Oh my god.
It'd be amazing if it was like Super Meat Boy, like instead of seeing all your failed attempts, it's just yeah. everything you've ever done bad, like come you end up in hell and they're
pretty
just
much,
all
yeah.
waiting
do
for you.
Do you remember the N64 GoldenEye?
I do.
At the end, they had to see all the people you shot, but they were like recovering in the hospital.
I'd forgotten.
It was like a thing that they wanted. They wanted Rare to do it because they weren't happy with like shooting people. So like, what if James Bond goes to the hospital? They're all recovering and shakes the hand of every person.
Everyone he's murdered in this game.
Sorry, Shutch, I was doing my job.
Sorry, I ran you over with a tank. I'm glad to see that you're healing with that one Band-Aid on your arm.
Living in San Francisco, we ride Lyft, Uber, stuff like that
yep.
quite a bit. I was riding Lyft the other day, and I had a driver I'm reasonably convinced was a retired James Bond villain. Because he had,
I thought you were going to say it was a ghost.
No. He had what looked to be like a Kevlar bodysuit on. He had these awesome driving gloves that looked like they were designed by like a supervillain. They
sure,
were just
Jason Statham.
So, like and then he had the most bionic headset. I mean, I'm pretty sure this was like some like Lando Calrissian's buddy,
like
Lobot. Yeah.
So you were
like,
in the cyberpunk
some Lobot
demo.
Stuff going on. All right, friends. So we have gone over a lot of these questions. There are so many more things you want from Red Dead Redemption. You're going to be able to tune in next week and catch some more of those on that special episode, part two of this. But we want to get through a couple of other segments here really quick
while
we've got our guests. So it's time for Luck of the Draw.
Do I get to play again?
You get to play Luck of the Draw. No, this is not poker. This is Luck of the Draw.
Oh, no. This is the one where I always get really heavy shit.
This is the one where you always get really serious questions.
Does Brendan get to play poker?
Brendan gets to play poker.
Okay, but I don't.
Yeah, but you don't. No, you don't get another chance to play
poker. I fucked up so bad, Jared.
All over with.
All right, here's the deal.
Brendan Graber, well, choose a suit.
Brendan.
Wait, what if I want to win under that one?
Oh, yeah, you can have anyone you want.
No, I want. I want that one.
Choose you want that
your
one.
Destiny.
What do you get?
Ooh! Right. Hot damn, the quintessential card. All right.
It appears to be the Ace of Spades. That's I believe that's from X-Men episode. Yeah, it's...
I don't know X-Men very well.
It's the X-Men cartoon.
I was a Batman cartoon kid.
Well, the Batman cartoon was better.
I like Gambit. Believe me, I know. That's why I watched it.
Yeah. What's that?
I like Gambit. He was a cool guy with a little deck of cards.
Well, see, there's a part where Gambit is charged a card, and it's like, what is that? One of the Sentinels like, it appears to be the Ace of Spades. And then it explodes in his face. Yeah, it's kind of cool. Like, robot humor. Okay, so it's Spades. This is from Lucas.
Okay.
Will we ever make it to Mars and actually keep a team on Mars to study the planet in our lifetime? So we're going to say in our lifetimes here because we don't know how old Lucas is. So y'all are younger than me.
If I live an astoundingly long life, that'll be like, excuse me, like 2070, 2080.
Yeah.
No.
No, you don't think so?
I don't think so. To have sustained human occupation on Mars...
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
I'd say
I think,
maybe the moon, by the, if that, that's being generous.
We're talking like colonization here.
Yeah, or I think we're talking about having a small switch-off colony.
Like an ISS, but on the surface of Mars.
But on the surface of Mars, yeah.
I mean, it is... It's a very long shot to my mind.
Brennan? Yeah.
Especially just the way things are right
I
now.
I mean, if they give me an anti-aging formula by then and we are mortal, then it's in my lifetime.
If by 2077 I can actually replace most of my body
or
with cyber parts,
then
yes. Or just
put my brain in a robot body.
They're, right, exactly. If I can do the Walt Disney thing.
Yeah, I think it's... I think that while the technology is almost certainly there, I don't think we're willing to throw the money at it that it would take to make that happen.
No, and like honestly, at this point, we can't afford to.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we could, but we would have to buy other things.
Well, we'd have to solve a lot of problems before we can attempt to tackle that.
Yeah,
what
I agree.
I'm saying.
I agree with you there. So we're not willing to engage at the moment.
If Dipshit McGee were to say, like, oh, the Space Force is colonizing Mars starting in 6 months, like, that's not happening.
Although, I mean, colonizing Mars, wow.
Look, that'd be dope. But like,
I don't want the Space Force colonizing anything.
I don't want a fucking Space Force.
If we discovered an alien on Mars and he's like, yeah, you guys are a bunch of jerks.
No, the alien's in Egypt. He's in the box. We found him.
Okay, but what if he came from Mars? He's like, I came from Mars. You guys are a bunch of jerks. Be like, oh yeah, we're gonna build a space marine, go and beat you guys up.
Really?
Then we'll get there.
That's
in my lifetime.
The only way that it's going.
Exactly.
This little guy's like,
the Elodian P-36 space module.
Shut up, Marvin. We're coming to kick your ass, nerd.
Someone has stolen the space modulator.
And it's gonna be America.
America steals the space modulator. All right. Finally, the Red Dead Redemption, Red Dead Radio, Red Dead Redemption poker tournament.
Don't make the same mistake I did.
Brennan Graber. Make all the mistakes.
Five cards. You choose how many on your five card draw to throw back. No real strategy here other than trying to make the best possible.
What's the current high
poker hand? Pair of aces right now.
So wait, that's still just a...
Choose five cards?
I hate myself so much.
Five? All you're going to do is tell me how many... it doesn't matter if I see them. How many you want to switch out. And that's it. You're just making the best possible hand you can, trying to beat a pair of aces here. That's what you're going for. Can you dig it? You really can't just show them to the crowd because you're not playing against John.
It's true. I already lost.
Yeah. You can share them with our audience. All right. How many you want? How many you want, Brennan? He wants two cards. Only two. Ooh, I like that.
Here's my secret. I'm terrible at cards.
All right.
You're always bad.
All right, Brennan. Time to show your hand. Reveal it to the camera.
How well did you do?
How'd you do?
I hope you did
do
super
it. What'd you do?
Well.
What you do? I like this kind of like.
What is it? I can't see.
Okay, show on the camera. What do you got? What do you got? That's absolutely nothing. Ace high.
That's zero.
Ace high. That's zero.
If you toss that three for something,
I did
Brennan
toss
Graber,
that three for something. I got on three back.
You are not the Red Dead Radio Poker Champion.
You made the same mistake that I did.
I'm happy not.
He did. He made the same mistake.
But you're the champion. Did he try for straight?
He went for the inside straight.
Why does everybody go for inside straight? Why?
Because it's the best one. How baller would it be to be like, oh, hey, by the way, 10, Jack, Queen, King.
It would be, and if you have four of those five, it makes sense to draw against it. Like if I've got,
but then we could just end the podcast right there. Just like,
if we've got like 10 Jack, Queen, King, then if I draw a nine or an ace, I got a straight.
Yeah,
that's the outside straight.
That's how I played last time.
Insides? No, you went for the inside straight.
Oh,
you had
okay,
7, 8, 10 Jack, and you were going for that eight in the middle. That's the inside. Never go for the inside.
I wanted
it. Double your chances of drawing a straight going on the outside. Yeah, that's what you want. All right.
Got on the outside.
Friends, thank you for being here. I like the three-seat dynamic. Always glad to have John Ryan here. And Brennan, you're just a delightful treasure of a human being. You and I used to be on shows frequently together. Guys, thank you for being here. Anything you want to plug for you?
I just finished up the super cool thing where we were super excited to play more or check out more of Cyberpunk 2077, but of course that's still a million years away. So we did the next best thing, and we got Mike Pondsmith, the guy who wrote the original tabletop game Cyberpunk 2020, to come in and lead a session of the Pen and Paper RPG. So you can check that out over on IGN, and it's also on our YouTube, and you can just email me and I'll send it to you.
All right, and Brennan?
I'm very boring. Watch his stuff instead.
Thanks!
Friends, thank you so much for listening and watching. And once again, part two of this next week. See you soon. Bye. Cisco Man, thank you so much. Austin Riley, Jonathan, William Holbert, thank you so much for being our Patreon producers this much. We couldn't do it without you.
Way to go.